This is 69, the podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. 69 has been covering the digital signage industry since the dawn of man, first online and now as a podcast. This podcast gives me the time to really talk to people about technology and issues, get past the PR and jargon, and into what stuff actually means. I try to help listeners understand why they should care. The podcasts are free, and I try to get a new one out weekly, but I travel a lot, so sometimes I'll miss a week. The 69 podcast has been gratefully sponsored and supported since the start by Jeremy Gavin and the fine folks at ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. ScreenFeed makes beautiful-looking, totally automated content for signage and digital out-of-home networks. Check them out at ScreenFeed.com. I sometimes get white papers and research that a vendor hopes I report on or talk about, and then decide against it because the information is hopelessly skewed in favor of that vendor. It's a bit like those recipe pamphlets that suggest you don't just add a cup of this, it has to be specifically the vendor's this. That's not the case with an interesting total cost of ownership report that looks at perceptions and attributes of LED versus LCD video walls. The report was put together by Atlanta LED manufacturer Nanolumens, but you'd barely know Nano made the big effort to put this together. It's an interesting read and a free download, albeit with the understanding the company wants to capture who all is grabbing it. I spoke with Joey Lloyd, Nanolumens Global VP of Marketing and Business Development, who put the survey together and got it out the door. We get into the why of the survey and what turned up in results from more than 400 respondents. Hello, Joey. How are you?
I'm good, Dave. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. You sent me this report. I had a look at it. I want to call out and congratulate you and your company for doing a report that is not a thinly veiled advertorial for your products, which happens often. You go through this whole survey and report, and you would barely know that Nanolumens did it.
That was the point. You know, I pride myself on being a decent marketer, and you know, it was one of the things was, how do we create something that's relevant to the industry? I mean, there's certainly a reason behind why we did it, but the point is to really get a better understanding of performance versus price, and that's not just a Nanolumens item. That's across the board. Anybody who's out there selling or buying video walls, really, there's a lot of questions around that total cost of ownership. And as the industry is starting to change and turn over in terms of LCD video walls are coming to end of life, people have been burned by lesser performing products. Now that we've got a few years under our belt, there's really something to be understood in owning something that performs at a higher quality level and for a longer period of time.
Was this something triggered by customer conversations where you were just finding the same questions are coming up over and over again?
We had a little bit of that. We also, you know, being so involved with the AV integrators and the channel as a whole, we find that it's something that they're talking about regularly. And, you know, AV integrators are selling everything. We are focused purely on LED. And so it's really a way of informing the industry as a whole and helping them to understand the value proposition of LED, not Nanolumens, but LED.
So when did this start and what was involved?
It started back in November. And I will say it's actually a version two. We did this a little earlier in the year. I wasn't incredibly excited with the results. And that had to do with the fact that maybe the first time around, it was a little too Nanolumens focused. I really wanted something that was industry and not Nanolumens. So we went back and we did a round two. We worked really hard on the questions, making sure that we put something out there that would be relevant across the industry. And we launched in early November, closed it out in early February. And I will say we bribed, we sent it out as far and wide as we could through our own database, through partners, through a little bit of advertising. And there were some gift cards to be won. So big congrats. There were two folks out in the world who won some pretty fabulous Amazon gift cards out of it. And we were just really excited. We saw 454 respondents, which is it's a pretty decent sample size.
Mm-hmm. And those were all people who completed the survey, or that's the number of people it went out to?
No, those are the people that completed the survey. We actually saw a participation rate of about 18%. And I'm not doing that math in my head, but, you know, there you go. And I think in terms of the respondents, what I'm happiest with is the broad brushstroke that we have across the industry, with over half of it being AV integrators. We've got almost 20% in direct buyers and another 15+% in the design community. So we really have a nice broad stroke across everybody who is selling and buying visualization solutions.
And the driver was around total cost of ownership and really comparing LED versus LCD, right?
Absolutely.
I was interested in some of the findings, and we'll go into that. But I wondered, because some of this is based around perceptions of this versus that. There's a, particularly among the AV integrator community, there would be a lot more experience with LCD than LED. So how do you battle that? Maybe some of the people you're asking questions of really don't have that much experience yet with LED.
I think it's just really interesting, to be perfectly honest. It's expected. I think we all know LCDs are the commonplace product, right? So an LCD video wall is more common than the product as a whole. But I continue to find this interesting, from show to show that, you know, I get to go to, is we look to the AV integrators and they are so experienced in all types of AV solutions, but you know, oftentimes when you dive in, they really haven't started selling LED or they haven't installed it. And maybe they don't know all the answers, but the buyer's looking for them too. So we see this really as an opportunity for education, you know, in getting people really up to speed in the technology itself. I mean, I think the industry is, you know, we've seen all the LCDs, we've heard about micro LED, we're seeing OLED at the shows and we're seeing all this really cool stuff, but it's, you know, until you really get hands on it and you really have installed it and worked with it, you can't be the expert. So I find that stat just to be interesting, more than anything.
So if people responding to this, the 400 plus who responded to this, a lot of them don't really know LED. How do you get a read on their ideas on things like service and lifetime estimates?
Well, I think it goes to show you that marketing matters. So one of the things that was interesting was in the common lifespan. I mean, you know, looking at the way that was viewed, people really felt like LCDs were going to last for an extended period of time when that's really not the lifespan that we see them on average. And it just goes to show you that good marketing, and there is really good marketing out there, will help you get past that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting for a pure play LED company, you're obviously touting the benefits of LED and brightness, long operating time, on and on and on. A lot of the major display manufacturers are kind of treading this line where they've been selling LCD for a very long time, but now they also have direct view LED, so they kind of have to balance that.
They do. I mean, I think for us, we really see ourselves as the expert. You can be a jack of all trades and an expert at none. We feel like we're not a jack of all trades, but the expert ourselves, in LED technology. And you know, the fact of the matter is we don't want to see the industry commoditize. And we think that what we do is special and unique. And we might not be the right fit for every company and every use case. You know, that's why we pride ourselves on the weird and the wow and the really special and unique. And LED has its benefits. There are plenty of opportunities that come through our door where LCD really is the better option, whether that has to do with price, whether it has to do with the use case. And we get that. And we totally understand and we agree. When you're making an investment of this size, hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions, you got to be buying the right product and you got to trust your partner to help you make the right purchase, not just be sold anything.
Mm-hmm. So let's go through some of the findings. I think the first area was around the idea of satisfaction with both technologies is pretty similar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really is. And I think this has a little bit to do with how people are marketed to, their experience with both of the technologies. And ultimately, the stats are really, really similar. 68.9% were somewhat satisfied with LCDs, while only 19% were very satisfied. What's interesting on the LED front, and there is some nuanced detail here, is you've got 60.7% as somewhat satisfied with their LED technology, but big uptick up to over 32% were very satisfied. So we do see some moderate levels of growth there in that very satisfied, really love what I bought.
Mm-hmm. And service estimates were about the same, really?
Mm-hmm. Service estimates were really pretty close to dead on in terms of that. But where it really dives in is the fact that the service really means different things. And this comes down to the core of the technology. LCDs are known for their benefits. One of the disadvantages I would say is their ability to, deal with ambient light and their brightness. And so this is where we get into that statement that dimming is damning. And if the first thing you're looking at in terms of service is that your LCD is going dim, you're not going to have that same problem with service on an LED. And that's really where I think the rubber meets the road.
Yeah, you found when it comes to servicing that in your estimation, which video technology requires more maintenance, and LCD was more by a factor of 2 to 1.
Mm-hmm.
And that gets down to things like calibration, I would assume.
Yeah, it gets down to calibration. It gets down to, you can deal with an LED, you can deal with pixels being out, you can, change out with your spares. You've always got something going. You have an LED that goes out in your 5x3 wall, you're up the creek, right? You've got to replace that. And do you have the right LED or LCD to replace it with? Is it the same color? So there really are some limitations there. And I think it's a 3-to-2 ratio. If you have to replace your LCD 3 times within your video wall, you might as well have bought LED.
You're saying you're going to replace your LCD video wall 3 times over the same operating lifespan as an LED?
The individual LCDs, yes. And that okay. That's not here in the survey. That is based on some anecdotal, what I hear from the industry. Mm-hmm. So don't quote me on it. It's not here in the survey.
Well, I'm recording it, so I'm quoting
it. you can quote it, but it's not here in the survey.
Yeah, but you've clarified it, so that's fine. you've done your job. It also says in the survey that issue severity is different and that you're going to run into much deeper, more significant issues with LCD versus LED.
Yeah, and that's really in the resulting in product replacement. So with 46% believe that LCD malfunctions result in replacement less than 25% of the time, while 65% of the LED malfunctions result in replacement less than 25% of the time. There's a lot of, numbers here to look at, but mm-hmm. ultimately, one of my favorite stories, we've got a sportsbook wall in Las Vegas, and someone during the Super Bowl got awfully angry and they threw a beer bottle at the wall. Well, think about what would happen if you had, a big LCD video wall and somebody threw a beer bottle and cracked one of your LCDs. Do you think that you have that replacement there? Can you replace it during the game? Is that going to happen? I'm not sure. I don't work out in the field, but I will tell you that with our wall, within 5 minutes, done, replaced, back watching the game. And only that little piece went out, by the way. Like, you just popped out the Nixle, back in. So it's really about the severity of the issue and how quickly it can be solved.
So the pitch there is, because the LEDs are modular, you could take out a tile from the front, nip it out, and put in a replacement that's kind of calibrated and matched with the existing wall because it came from the same production lot, and just pop it back in. You're back in business in 5 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. You also go into the survey about what seemed to be the biggest issues with LCD versus LED. What did you find there?
We found with LCDs that really dimming was the largest issue and most commonly ranked.
And what do you mean by dimming?
The loss of brightness.
Okay.
Followed with not turning on, lack of replacement or discontinued models, durability, compatibility with new technologies, and the list goes on. In the LED ranking department, we found the highest or most common reason ranked was parts of the display wouldn't turn on. Pretty far behind was the lack of replacement or discontinued models. Dimming was third on that list. Compatibility was fourth, and so on from there. That dimming is damning, that loss of brightness. I mean, I think it's really important to note that LCD companies, similar to the way we buy televisions, they are discontinuing models. And, you know, we just talked a little bit about binning and making sure that your spares always match up. How many LCDs are you going to buy as replacements to make sure that you have that kind of backstock available?
Mm-hmm. Whereas with LED, you can, well, depending on how your technology works, you have some spare cabinets, or in your case, I guess, spare, quote unquote, nixels.
Yeah, spare nixels.
And that's enough to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and this is pure play nanolumens, so here's where the ad comes in. But we're warranted down to the pixel for 6 years. So you're not only going to have your spares on site for making your hot swaps, but you're going to send those back. We're going to repair them. You are always going to have spares for the lifetime warranty of that display.
Mm-hmm. And with your, in a lot of cases with LED cabinets, you have to have somebody on site who's, or at least a tech who's going to be able to pop out that individual module. And then I guess send it back to the manufacturer or whatever, right? Because fixing the individual LED dies is finicky work.
It is finicky work. So fixing the individual die, absolutely. You need an expert to do that. I will say this. Popping out a nixel and changing it, although, yes, you should have an SLA for any kind of investment at this point of this magnitude, you should have a service level agreement with a great AV integrator that you can trust. But I can pop out a nixel.
Even
I can do it. I am the girliest of girls in high heels every day, nails polished, and I can pop out a nixel and change it.
Well, I guess in a pinch, you can go out in the field and do
hey, I was out in the field for Infocom. if you were setting up booths at Infocom this year, you saw me.
Okay. I wasn't setting up booths.
Good for you. I recommend not doing it in Orlando where they don't turn on the air conditioning.
Oh, God. Yeah, I know. It's bad enough even when the air conditioning's on.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed. Now, I'm not put off by the fact that you're not listening to this podcast to hear me. Just like audiences to any digital signage, you give your attention to content you find interesting or helpful. That's where my company ScreenFeed comes in. Our sole mission is to make your digital signage network more valuable by making content that is more valuable to your audience. If you'd like to drive more attention to your screens, visit ScreenFeed.com to explore the 75-plus content options we've created to do just that. And then give us a call. Now, back to the podcast.
You get into product lifespan as well and suggest that it's a clear advantage for LED.
This is what the survey respondents
are seeing.
Yeah, the industry knows that. They see it. But it's interesting, honestly, that almost 20% thought that LCD was going to have a longer life cycle. I mean, that's kind of a funny one. But, you know, it shows. I mean, the industry knows what's going on. They know that direct view LED has got the longer life.
And that, when you say the industry, that would be the integrators, probably much more so than the architects and designers who don't have a lot of technical familiarity with it.
You know, I don't want to make that leap because I don't know. I didn't look at the data at that level for this particular question to tell you which portions of the respondents responded this way, right, for DirectView versus LCD. I think it's a fair call to make, but it would be unfair for me to tell you that the data said as much.
Right. Well, I'm looking at the results and it says, which video technology would you expect to have a longer life cycle? And 81% plus said DirectView and 18.4 said LCD. So clearly that's where people are tilting.
Oh, in general, across the survey, absolutely. Who said that? Integrators versus buyers versus architects? That I don't know.
Mm-hmm. You also get in perceptions of pricing.
Mm-hmm. So this one was really interesting. You know, as a pure play manufacturer of LED technology, we are consistently told, hey, that's expensive. Ooh, I wasn't expecting that, right? And yet, when you look at the data here, again, across this 454 sets of people, of respondents, they kind of thought the pricing was similar across the board. So for us, this was a learning experience. And, you know, as the title says, pricing just may not be as standardized as we thought.
Yeah, I would imagine you're bidding out, or your salespeople are bidding out sometimes on jobs against LEDs or against LCD, as well as your competitors in the LED space. If you get into super narrow pitch or narrow bezel LCDs, those individual screens are screaming expensive as well.
They are. The enterprise, you know, big deal, professional grade LCD, super thin bezel do get very pricey. But there is still a moderate difference. And I think it depends on the quality of what you're buying in LED too. You know,
oh, yeah.
So let's, you know, be clear that there are different performance and values in the different manufacturers and different lineups of the LED.
I don't know if the survey covers this. I had a reasonably quick breeze through it. Do the respondents, or do you get the sense the industry understands the difference between what you might see in the back corners of Infocom or another trade show, a company from somewhere in China that can sell LED at a price per square foot where you're thinking, whoa, that's really good. Do they get that that's not the same as what you're going to get from kind of the top tier guys?
I think the big integrators do. And I think across the board, at least on the professional side, if they don't know it, they're learning it. I would say that for the direct buyer, for the company who says, you know what, I just want this cool technology, they may not know that yet. But the AV integrators, they're definitely getting there and understanding. And it's not just performance. It's not just what do you see in the corners of Infocom, as you put it. It's also about the service and support. Because you know what, you might get some really good looking LED that's coming out of
Shenzhen,
you know, in some way, shape, or form. But are you going to have the service behind it? Are you going to be able to talk to somebody when there is a problem, when you are installing it, when they're, you know, 2 years in, there's something going on? And I think that's a big differentiator that the industry is really coming to value.
So if you're buying something from Shenzhen, a company that doesn't have an office over here or anything, what, over here being North America, what's going to happen when there is a problem?
I don't know. That's a great question. You know, I know what we've heard, but we know that the customers who value nanolumens and value what we bring really tell us that they appreciate that there is someone here 24/7 to work with them. And it's, you know, it starts all the way in the pre-sales process and it goes all the way through. You know, keep in mind, we're not selling a box. So we're the company when you've got that paper napkin idea and somebody else said, oh God, you can't do that. There's no way. You know, we're the company who's going to help you design and build that and really be that supporting partner, you know, who says, yeah, 0.9 is really super cool and it would be amazing. It's also going to cost you 10X. You know, what if you tried this? You know, we want to be that valued partner that starts you all the way back there. And, you know, once you've gotten through the install and, you know, gone through with a fully trained person and that support, you know, how is it being managed on the backside? And again, that comes down to that warranty and that support and who you're working with. And so we really feel like it's an end-to-end solution. And that's where people are really starting to value not only performance over price, but service over price.
Right. And that's, I understand that's a pitch with you guys. It is with, I would say any of the big guys who either are North American based or have established a pretty substantial presence here with not only salespeople, but support people and so on, because they get that you can't effectively reach out from 12 time zones away.
Yeah, it's true.
So the research also went into what really matters for buyers. And it looks like the big thing is actually resolution and performance over price.
Mm-hmm. I think this is where, you know, this is where it gets good. The professionals, the industry professionals are prioritizing performance. While it looks like the buyer is still, looking at price, and the industry experts also seem to be telling us that in order for the LED market to grow, they think price has to come down, and that's because that's what the buyer is looking for. So I think we're going to continue to see, you know, what we've just been discussing about this prioritization of performance and really teaching people what happens when you buy, you know, underperforming or super cheap product. And you know, again, there is... You walk the halls at Infocom or ISC and there's some cool looking stuff and it looks amazing no matter where it's coming from. But it's understanding how is it going to perform in the long term, and the few dollars that you might save up front may dearly harm you on the back end and not have been worth it. And that's where, you know, either these LCDs, video walls that are coming to end of life, you know, maybe sooner than people expected. Those are being replaced. And again, those folks who were on the bleeding edge, they were buying LED when it was brand new and exciting and not as commonplace as it is today. And they bought the cheaper non-performing stuff. And they're like, I'm not getting burned with that again. Mm-hmm. So, you know, those, I think that's going to really lead that transition.
So how is visual performance defined? Because as you said, you can go to a trade show and there's a whole variety of manufacturers that have stuff that all looks pretty good on a trade show floor. How, mm-hmm. Is performance just based on long-term characteristics and things like the color is not shifting or whatever, or can you do something that akin to a shootout, a visual shootout, and see this is performing better based on more technical things like color range and so on?
Yeah, I mean, I think you can get in really deep with color space and moving forward with that. I think it's important to note that anybody can get something looking good for a couple of days, right? So you can get to the trade show floor and I would say 7, 8, maybe even 9 times out of 10, you can get that display looking good, right? But how does it perform over the long term? How does the viewing go, the Z axis, you know, how aligned are the panels? You know, what does it look like? We do a lot in corporate, in new building space. What happens to that display if your building settles? Is it fixable? You know, it can you come in and adjust? And that's one of those benefits, you know, particular, with modules that you can do. Performance comes down to a lot of different things. Serviceability, you know, is it rear serviceable, front serviceable, you know, how does that work? So I think there's a lot, the durability of it, the how long are you willing to warranty it? You know, we oftentimes see warranties that are for a certain percentage of pixels out, not a single pixel. And I mean, truth be told, if I was spending hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars on something, I want every single dot to work. I don't want to see a pixel out.
No.
So, I mean, I think it's looking at all of those different things and really understanding what are the metrics that you as the buyer are looking at. Not everybody is buying it with the same return on investment. A return on investment could be financial. It could be eyes viewed, you know, the viewable? How does my CEO feel about it? Did I impress my employees? Did I make for a better workspace? I mean, there's so many different things. So I think first and foremost, it's understanding, why is your customer even buying a display? What are they trying to get out of it?
Mm-hmm. I was intrigued as well that when you're ranking the priorities of or ranking order of importance for attributes, lower cost, as you said, is the big one. But the next one is tighter pixel pitches / sharper resolutions. It's, almost as high as lower cost. Mm-hmm. Are you hearing that? Are people still demanding that the pixel pitch has to get tighter? Because I don't think technically it can get much tighter using certainly conventional LED.
I think that we're talking about it a lot. It's kind of, I would call it a buzzword, to be perfectly honest. Mm-hmm. It's not being purchased all that often. It is super, super expensive. and I think that we haven't seen across the board tons and tons of manufacturers who have been able to mass produce at that super narrow pixel pitch in a way that is easy to install and easy to maintain. Mm-hmm. So it's out there and it's happening. And I think, LED has come super close, if not right there, to matching the pixel pitch of LCDs. I don't know how far it will go.
Is it a case of the buyers and integrators understanding that, hey guys, that's just one aspect of this? If you are standing 15 feet away, if that's the typical viewing zone, it makes no sense to go with super fine pixel pitch because viewers aren't going to see it in the same way that they're not really going to see 8K LCD unless they're super, super close.
It's absolutely true. One of my favorite things to do when I give a tour of our showroom and I get a real newbie in is, so the way our showroom is set up is you come in and you walk through a tunnel. And so the tunnel is a 5mm pixel pitch. And so you get right in there and it's super cool because it's curved and you're literally standing in a tunnel of LED. That's amazing. But you can see the dots. If you're standing right there, you can see the pixels. And so, we pick up our heads, we look across the room, and there's the same 5mm pixel pitch display not a tunnel, in a more of a flat piece. And I say, so that's the same pixel pitch. And they look at me and they go, wait, really? Because that's like watching TV. And when you can really help somebody visualize those differences and understand what that distance view means, it's a light bulb moment.
Mm-hmm. All right. This half an hour really zipped by. The last thing we should talk about is, if somebody wants to get this report, how do they get it? What do they have to do? What does it cost? All that stuff.
Oh, well, it is absolutely free. So come on by to www.nanolumens.com. And to check out the report, you can hit it right from our homepage. Just give us your email address and on you go. It's the Nanolumens LED versus LCD Total Cost of Ownership Report.
All right. Joey, thank you. That's it for this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it and you learned a thing or two. If you're new to 16.9, it's a podcast that's been around since 2016. You can click around the site and find scores of conversations with smart industry folks. If you're new to digital signage, you need to be reading 16.9. That's at 16-9.net. You'll find thousands of posts by me and expert guest writers about this industry. I don't run a press release republishing mill. If something makes it on 16.9, that means it matters in some way to the business. Everything about 16.9 is free. Great sponsors make my work possible, and one of those is podcast sponsor ScreenFeed. Check them out at screenfeed.com. 16.9 is a product of Vertical Media Consulting Group, the massive media empire I run out of a spare room in my house, now located outside Halifax, Nova Scotia, on the east coast of Canada. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.